Welcome to the For Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 28th of January, recording at 10:10 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, let's have a quick look at the main action in here today. Starting with the Asian stock markets, well, Japan, which has been so strong, really since mid-November, is a little easier here today, as the Nikkei 225 index has backed off from the 11,000 level. It just got up early and touched it, and then just dipped back a little bit. It's still near the higher side of the range, and the backing off may have been given a push by the yen, which came off its lows that we had seen. Just a little bit steadier. It got up over the 91 level, I think to 91.30 something against the US dollar, but has back to 90.73. Now, within Asia, China is very strong here today, and it's near the top of a consolidation range. And the mainland indices are up about 2.5% on average. Quieter elsewhere in China, but this was a good move in here today, and it just remains very steady overall. Now, elsewhere, Thailand was firm, Indonesia and Korea a little bit easier. Korea is still affected by the strong won, and it's backed away from the higher side of its trading range. So Korea has clearly been underperforming for a while, and currency strength has been a factor in that overall. Now in Europe, stock markets are mostly steady. Italy was up nearly 1%. That was the best gain that I saw overall. But the Euro Stoxx 50 index, now that measures blue chips, and that's pushing up out of a recent range, which has taken place during most of January. So it had underperformed this month, but only after terrific strength that we had seen in that late rally last year, during the second half of the year. But as I say, it's pushing up out of that range, which looks like an orderly consolidation. And so is Europe's bank index, also another sideways trading range, but now beginning to push up out of that pattern. Now, Wall Street was quiet in here today, ending slightly lower on the indices, although the NASDAQ for a change was up a little bit more. It was just 0.15 of a percent. But I mentioned for a change because Apple has really weighed on the NASDAQ in recent months. But Apple was up a little bit in here today, and so that helped it. Mexico remains very strong. It's been a relative strength leader for months. In contrast, Brazil continues to underperform, falling back from the higher side of its current trading range, but it really hasn't gone anywhere for a number of years now, so a serial underperformer, and not least during last year and this year to date. Now elsewhere, grains and beans, they've been quietly steady. You've had a little rally over the last 3 weeks. Not a significant change technically, but they were a bit oversold at the beginning of the year. Now, the main factors in this market, first the South American crop, by all reports, continues to be favorable. And although, you know, you can never count your beans before they sprout or whatever, because so much can go wrong with crops and has in recent years. But things are favorable. They've got enough moisture and no major disease problems. At least I haven't seen any evidence of that. But here's the problem that the U.S. crops, now they're they're a couple of months away from the planting season, but in the Great Plains region, there's a considerable drought going on, and that's not good. So really, to be sure of a reasonable sowing season in the U.S., we're going to need to see some moisture. And quite a bit of it to a few little showers won't do the trick. So I'm going to take off the headset a minute and just have a little cough. There we go. Human frailty here. Voice giving way. Now, industrial metals are mostly firmer in here today, and they've had a good few months overall quietly, edging up out of their little base formations. Today, tin was an exception and fell somewhat. Precious metals also were easier in here today, but it's a mixed picture for the sector overall. For instance, palladium has been the really strong performer over the last few months, and it pushed up to a new recovery high in here today, but it couldn't hold it. But it backed off $10, closing at the 738 level. Now, silver has been down for 3 days in a row, looking a little bit oversold, and getting back to some potential support. Same with gold, which has been down for 4 days in a row, but not much in here today. Gold is just down $2 or $3, actually. I look at the spot bullet gold. I was looking at the future, but bullion's barely changed, down 30 cents at 16.55. As I say, getting oversold, but we need to see upward dynamics by gold and silver, and also platinum, which had been quite steady. It had run up to the higher side of its range and a little bit more, getting up to that sort of 1700 level. But it's backed off from that, not a whole lot, but today it took a little bit of a hit, down $32 to 1663. Okay, so what do we make of all this? The big story in the markets has been the continued strength of stock markets. Now, government bonds, they have been weaker, as you know, over the last few months. So government bond prices have been coming down, and therefore the yields have been pushing higher overall, and we saw a little bit more of that today. Now, in contrast, and the bigger story has been just a terrific rally that we've seen in stock markets, and people have been saying that Wall Street's seeing its best January since 1989. I haven't done the tedious work of checking that out to verify it, but when they're saying it on CNBC enough times, well, I'll sort of take it as valid. And what a lot of people are, well, people, sentiment's pretty divided here. Some people are really quite worried, saying this is a sell signal. We're up near the S&P's highs that we saw back in 2000 and also in 2007 before the huge slams to the downside that we saw off both of those highs. And then there are other people who are saying, well, the news is improving, sentiment's better, Europe is no longer a crisis, look at all the QE that we're actually getting, China's better. And the bulls have the upper hand here at the moment. Now, we are overextended, so I would expect some sort of reaction to commence in February. That wouldn't be at all surprising. But are we going to get the big hit to the downside that people have been forecasting for months? Well, my hunch is that we probably won't. And one of the key reasons for that is that while Owen and I have been talking about a valuation contraction cycle for a long time, we should take another look at some of the figures that I talk about when we say that. For instance, let's take Wall Street, because for the S&P, the price earnings ratio at the 2000 high was over 32. And that's pretty high. Bubble conditions. Now, that had more than halved to 17.5. So from 32 down to 17.5 PER at the 2007 peak. Then, of course, there was a brief spike in 2009 as reported earnings collapsed, particularly in the financial sector. But today, we've got the S&P pushing up over that 1500 level, and it's within reach of the 2007 and 2000 highs, but the PER is currently still below 15. So, point is that those valuations have come down a lot. Now, we can say the same for yields, because in 2000, the S&P yielded only well, just over 1%, I think 1.05, and it was at one point, it edged up to 1.7 in 2007. Today, it's over 2.1. Now, these are not historically cheap valuations by any means. If we talk about the PER for the S&P is just a little below 15, and the yield just a little over 2%. But remember, we've had this financial repression, we've got the record low interest rates persisting, all the QE that's been going on. So that fundamental background is completely different than it was in the late 70s and the 1980s. In the 1980s, we were beginning to come out of that last valuation contraction cycle. My feeling is that we'll be coming out of this valuation contraction cycle over the next few years, and that will get us, we'll go into a more sustained market advance period, and I think some of the factors that will contribute to that will be lower costs for energy due to all the increases in supply that we're seeing on the way. We'll get back to, I think, more global growth for a change from all the recession and depression fears that we've been seeing. I think that will be a big factor. And then there's that long-term factor of the technological innovation, which can help companies, is helping companies, both large and small, to increase their overall efficiency and profitability. Those would be the drivers of the next bull market move to the upside that we anticipate. And of course, there'll be plenty of reactions along the way. There always will be. There'll be political concerns. There'll be spikes from time to time in commodities, but I'm hoping it won't be energy. I don't think it will be energy, as I've already said. And there'll be the end of QE, which will be something to worry about, but it's not a problem for today. So I don't look for more than a reaction and consolidation occurring in February. And on that note, all the best to all of you.